it seems like in modern times, everything has a ranking, from culture to economics and, of course, political. Some lists are considered to be an achievement to be included, while others are less desired. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to discuss a recent list of the top freedom fighters around the world, and if this is an honor which only places a larger target on their back. Let's get started. Dan Wooten, who is a journalist and broadcaster from New Zealand, has just published a list of the 50 biggest freedom fighters all around the world today. Now, Wooten, who has been canceled himself, included many people who were subjects of cancel culture and came to rise again fighting for their beliefs.
In one of the biggest MSM beat-ups in history, I was taken off air because of comments Lawrence Fox made about the flame-throwing leftist commentator Ava Santina. As my friend Megan Kelly told me, you were the first broadcaster in this world to be cancelled for not being offended enough by something.
Now, of course, this is all personal opinion. No poll was taken. And even in the comments below his initial post, he agrees it's quite subjective. And there are many people he probably could have included. However, one fact remains true from this list. All of these names are from Western countries, or quote-unquote, first world countries, who supposedly represent the free world. And as we look at TikTok bans, governments partnering with social media companies to create censorship, this does raise a very important question. Has turmoil in politics and the rise of unfiltered social media made us less free or more? Well, joining us now to discuss our political analyst and radio host, Jamal Thomas, Tom Norton, chairman of the American PAC, and media analyst Lionel. Welcome all three of you, people who I consider to be freedom fighters and should be number one, two, and three on this list, but I guess he forgot you guys, forgot my name as well. So we'll just do what we do best and talk about everybody else. Lionel, I got to start with you on this. Who do you believe are fighting currently for freedom? Who would you include if you were to make yours?
President Trump.
He wasn't on this list. He was not on here. I don't think he was on here, was he?
Well, you asked me whom I would include, and
yes,
he wasn't on the, whether he is or not. The list is, you know what it is? The sad part about it is, very quickly to you and the gentlemen, the people who have been mentioned are nothing special. They just had the unmitigated audacity to believe that they could express an opinion. Yeah. An opinion that might have been not liked. And I don't know about you, but I like spice in my food and spice in my commentary. And remember, you only take flack when you're over the target. What these people represent were victims of not First Amendment violations per se using our system, but people who were used or targeted by proxies for government. Remember, all the social media systems are there as agents, as the Luca Brasi, as the enforcers of government. They're proxy. They quash free speech, quash opinion. So the idea that it's Mark Zuckerberg and Bezos sitting in their garage as private entrepreneurs is BS. They're active agents of a government that wants to shut you up, and a society that loves the scrum, loves the pitchfork and torch brigade. They love to shut you down, Scotty Nail Hughes. They love it because they're a bunch of mean girls, and they just love to crush people just because they just do.
Well, I think there's also more to it, though, Jamal. I agree with you, Lionel, on a lot of the points you made, but I think there's also more to it, Jamal, because I think there's a bigger purpose, a bigger narrative, a bigger agenda that's even not even about making money for a lot of these. Yeah. Their purpose is they want everybody to be directed into one narrative, yeah. And if you don't agree with that narrative, then your voice should be silenced.
Yeah. Breakthrough technology and social media. I mean, that's basically what the internet is, right? I mean, whether you had radio, whether you had TV, initially you were able to corral people within a very specific funnel in regards to point of view. And with social media, they basically lost control of the narrative. And in trying to regain control of the narrative, that's when you're getting a TikTok ban. That's when you're getting them putting pressure on Elon Musk. That's when you're getting them putting pressure on Schellenberg. I mean, look at what they did to RFK when he went for testimony. I mean, they trashed the guy. He was another one of those people that just so happened to be on that list, what they were going after. No, the issue is they lost control of the narrative in the way that media would typically funnel that information. And this is the political arm trying to regain it. Lionel was right. I mean, when you're looking at the Twitter list, I would love to see the YouTube list. I would love to see the Facebook list. And the pressure that gets put on these companies by the federal government to either allow or disallow. And by the way, it goes both parties.
Yeah, that's the one thing about this list. It's Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians very well represented on this list. So, Tom, I've got to ask you, when you look at the number of people on here and the people that are on there, do you have any additions that you think should be highlighted as someone who's a freedom fighter?
I think certain people out there, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, could have been added to the list. I mean, there's 50 people on the list. Donald Trump was number six. I think the list was very well rounded from multiple political parties. They could have added people like Tulsi Gabbard. Mm-hmm. I was lost for the name for a second, and added to the list. That they had a very wide variety of both traditional liberals and conservatives on this list. And the idea that they can stand up and have their freedom of speech is embraced in the First Amendment. And that's something that should be embraced and taught. We need to stop fighting woke versus non-woke and start talking about the United States Constitution again. Because if we start doing that, they can realize that it gives us a right to hurt people's feelings. And freedom of thought is essential for people to be able to move forward in the future.
But that's the one thing, you know, and I'm going to go to you this on Jamal. When I look at that list, the people's names that are listed, they have backbone because they have people behind them. Yeah. It's the individuals that probably don't have a lot of money, probably don't have a team of lawyers behind them, that you never hear of their names on that side of it. Yeah. So does it prove the reason why we're talking about these people is they have groups and organizations already behind them?
Well, yeah. I mean, the random person who nobody knows. Nobody knows,
right? For a reason.
The random person. Do you remember when they had the election and the woman, they kept calling these people Russian bots?
Right.
And the woman was like, I'm not a Russian bot, I'm a human being. That person, under normal circumstances, you don't know who that person is. I mean, for all of the Scotty No Hughes or the Manila Chants who are shadow bands or the Lionels, you have Pete Witherspoon or whoever, right, who has a particular political opinion that they didn't necessarily like. And so it was, nobody could find Pete Witherspoon in Twitter, right, or nobody could find him on his Facebook page. Elon Musk is the richest man on the planet. So him being a freedom fighter is a bit funny. But on some level, yeah. I mean, Elon Musk has been pretty, as long as you're not talking about Elon Musk, he has been.
And you're doing the $25.99, you know, blue check fee or whatever they have now.
Right,
then,
right.
Then you're considered to be a freedom fighter on that one. So, Lionel, I've got to ask you, do you believe, though, that there should members of the major media outlets actually be considered freedom fighters, or are they just doing their job?
No, I mean, a freedom fighter, that sounds great. I like intellectual terrorist.
Ooh, that's a good
one. You know, something
too,
like that. But here's the thing which is interesting. It's not the thought police I've always worried about. It's the thought vigilantes. It's the private citizens. We live in a world of, let me say this again, mean girls and people who just love to shut you up and shut you down. And what we did was, remember, the first rule of government is don't let people speak. Number two, find a reason to give them why they've been shelled. This affects national security. This is obscene. And now we're into hate. It's racist. It's anti-Semitic. It's transphobic. And then we get into, I love misinformation, disinformation, and dad information. And then we'll do is we will set up artificial pretend truth posses, truth vigilantes, who determine, you know, whether it's Snopes or whatever, to say, I'm sorry, that's a truth fact. PolitiFact says that's incorrect. Excuse me, who are you? And what we do is we are so in love with this machine that we'll do, oh, no, I'll back off. Oh, no, please, let me take pictures of my selfies. Let me take pictures of me with my girls. Let me take pictures of me with my filters and eating my food. And please, don't take that away. I'll shut up. I'll be good. And they use this as a cudgel to shut people up. And remember, the federal government is saying, it's not us. It's not the First Amendment. My ass is not the First Amendment. They're proxies. And let me also tell you, if you think for 1 minute that there are good guys here, God bless Elon Musk. But if you think he's a saint, if you think he doesn't himself know his own brand of censorship, let me leave you with one question, too. Tell me one thing that you never want to have uttered on any platform anywhere. Name one thing, one thought, one idea that should never, ever be uttered. I can't think of one. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Well, that's very open-minded of you, Lionel, to say just, you know, if you don't like it, go away. But that's not how it exists in this world, Tom. In fact, they would probably take Lionel's speech right there. If I tweet that out, I'll get shadow banned because of how much truth. Does it not also say something, though, about the politicians that, like you mentioned, Marjorie Taylor Greene? They're all elected. All of them should be fighting for freedom. How sad is it that we have to put the ones that are fighting on a list and the others, what are they doing with our taxpayer dollars that they're getting paid?
Well, what's happening here is what we really need to start doing is like standing up and encouraging people to be the foot soldiers. He wants to bring up the proxy portions of it. We can encourage people to be proxies across the United States in their own realm. That's where you have True Social, you have other groups that are standing up, but everybody is at the end of the day into it for a margin of profit. So as long as you're attracting the base, you can sit there and bring them in. But if you attract a base where you're talking about actual freedom of speech and it's non-woke, I believe that platform will continue to grow a little bit more. I've used Twitter probably more since Elon Musk purchased it. No, he's not a saint. I mean, the guy's had more wives and kids than most of us would ever dream of. But when you're the richest guy on the planet, I guess you can afford to do that. I mean, child support's not that big at that point, I guess. But there's a freedom of speech that's there that even he sits there and can embrace and encourage. And if I owned a platform, most of us would sit there and say, hey, don't pick on me. That's just where the majority of us would go is say, hey, you can say whatever you want, just leave me alone because I'm paying for it. As Ronald Reagan said in 1984, I'm paying for this microphone. And that is probably where these guys, because they are still private organizations, can limit them. But they are right that a lot of them are proxies and nothing more than a microphone of the Democratic Party. And quite frankly, I'll pick on Fox News. They're nothing more than a microphone for the RNC. I mean, you put an Ethernet cable in the back of their mouths and it moves, and you know it's coming straight from the chairmanship and straight from the top.
Well, with that lovely image in our head right now, even though we have to get, that would lead us to what the new RNC looks for, I want to take a break because after we're going to continue this discussion and we're going to also look at why people have to fight for freedom today. Why is that just not a given? We'll be back.
Largest democracy votes, the rest of the planet watches. In an emerging multipolar world, India's voice matters. But who will be the power behind it? Watch as almost 1 billion people decide and billions more react.
Let's continue our discussion about the fight for freedom. And who are some of the name makers with our panel? Political analyst and radio host Jamal Thomas, Tom Norton, chairman of American PAC, and media analyst Lionel. Welcome on this one. Let me start with you, Tom, since we ended. I'm going to let you start this segment. Look at this list. It was composed by Dan Wooten. And it's all interesting to me that almost 99.9% come from what I consider to be developed countries. Does this mean that actually freedom is under attack more in those regions, which are known for having it, or can you not take away something that you've never had?
I think that freedom is drastically being attacked in Western countries because we have violated the concept of freedom of speech. We violated in the First Amendment. We made judge, jury, and executioner out of the media. And I mean, if we look around the world, I'm certain if I dig through stories of in African nations that are some of them still developing, that we could find true freedom fighters that are defending, you know, families that are getting executed or starving. And I think that to a degree, some of this freedom fighter list is also embracing our own ego to an extent, that we think that we are extra special. But it is true that freedom is under attack. And once this bastion of freedom is gone here in the United States, this miraculous experiment, there's not going to be too many other places left to go. And that's what we have to sit there and stand up and truly fight for, is restoring that freedom of speech. And again, as I said before, is making sure that we encourage people to stand up and be their own freedom fighter. These freedom of social media platforms, if thousands of people got on them and made their own opinion heard, if thousands of people said, I'm tired with protecting your pronouns because I have no idea how you feel today because 24 hours has passed and people's opinions can truly change, and we are all standing up and fighting for what we believe in, I think we can restore and move it back in the other direction. There's millions of Americans that believe in individual freedom, believe in that First Amendment, that need to stand up and just say what their opinion is, and we'll be able to turn back the clock by just truly being ourselves.
Tom, I love your optimism. Lionel, do you believe the glass is that half full when it comes to freedom being restored, or have we already let that genie out of the bottle?
No, the glass is too large. And by the way, I love your mixed metaphors, and the toothpaste is already out of the tube.
We can keep going.
I think, you know, with all due respect to this article, the fact of this freedom, these are just people making opinions. Let me give you my favorite. This is my favorite. You remember a while back or in from time immemorial, every now and then they'll go to college campuses. Mm-hmm. And they hate college campuses. It depends what it is. It depends. I'm not going to go into whether it's BLM or whether it's this or whether it's Trump or whether it's something about Israel or against Biden. But they love to go to college campuses. And to me, I always thought that was a marketplace of free ideas. I always thought that's where you went, and you went to say crazy things, to whatever. And they'll say that's hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to now introduce my platform, my new movement of hashtag so what. If I say something that is hateful, so what? Hate is protected speech. You can hate anything you want. You can love anything you want. You can say anything you want in my perfect world, so long as you don't ever activate upon that or hurt somebody. I don't care whether you hit somebody and love them or hit somebody and hate them, or you hate them because of their race or the way they look or their sexuality. Somewhere along the line, the word hate became a part of our idea that somehow this is proscribed. So we took these things called hate crimes. Remember that? Isn't that great? We should have hate crimes. Of course, there's no love crimes. And I'm going to be penalized for daring to utter a thought which is protected, which I've happened to pair with something which is against the law. And what we do is our biggest problem are the idiots in the global north who sit back and say, okay, well, it's hate, well, it's... And they're into this nodding obeisance, this hypnotic patellar, yes, it's hate, of course. Hashtag, so what? And I want to make people tough, and I want them to grow a thick skin, grow a pair, get a backbone. Shut up. So what? Let them say it. If you don't like it, leave.
Okay.
That's the essence.
Afraid, but Lionel, I gotta push back on you on this. At what age does that start? Because we talk about college campus. We can say that
what
as
age?
Adults, but in middle school, elementary school, when you were in school, you could only say certain things, certain words, certain parts. When does it start that you can actually have the freedom to say so what, and you don't have to abide by certain guidelines?
Adults, anytime anything were to, I mean, we're not talking about kids in
so we're only
school,
talking 18 and above, but the kids, they're not allowed to discuss political ideals right now in high schools and middle schools, elementary schools. They're not allowed to wear t-shirts that say, you know, I love Jesus on it or bring a Quran to certain schools.
Listen, that's a different story. That's public school is a whole nother story. And if it's a political class, we need to be able to talk about that. But the bottom line is simply this, it's not just children. It's people that we know. Look, how many times have you been aligned with some kind of Russian propagandist idea where you've been called a Putin supporter, where you've been actually aligned, you, merely because you said, I don't think this happens to make sense. How many times have it's the most, recently, I saw American congressmen waving a Ukrainian flag on the floor of the Congress, screaming, Ukraine, I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with this? Oh, what am I? Are you a Zelensky hater? It's like, there's no name for this. I'm an American, damn it. I don't like this. There, and if that's freedom and I'm fighting for it, terrific. We've lost our minds. That's the problem.
Oh, that's definitely we agree on. And Jarmal, a lot of it's happening in pop culture.
Yeah.
You're seeing it. It's not just you expect it from the floor of the house. You know they're going to talk about it. But you're seeing it in pop culture right now, whether we're talking about movies, in music. Is that being used as a tool to take away freedom as well?
It's definitely being used as a tool to get across a point of view. Mm-hmm. Star Trek, one of my favorite shows, Star Trek Discovery, they have just destroyed that show. And like you would have a scene, Star Trek is already a woke-ish type of, you know, all of the different ideas and everything else, all of the different morality that's added into it. And I remember one of the Discovery thing they had is like basically correcting somebody on their pronouns. They're aliens. They're not even like it, at a certain point it becomes a bit over
comic.
The top. But be clear though, this is a political issue. This mm-hmm. is less, look, I don't think the random American, I don't think the average American who's sitting somewhere is policing their speech when they're talking to somebody else, they're just having a conversation with somebody else. When you get into a political situation, well, that becomes a bit different. And you have, I forget the word that Lionel used, something vigilante.
Yes.
But he's right. I mean, look at what they've done with the woman who did Harry Potter. I mean, she got to the point of saying, arrest me if you feel that confident about it, just because, you know, I try to protect women's spaces, or just because, you know, I point out, hey, maybe this biological male shouldn't beat up other women in a sporting event. And they would call that transphobic. No, it has gotten very strange. In the old days, we used to be able to have these political fights. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the 60s and civil rights, some of the stuff they used to say in those fights. And somewhere along the way, they got to the point of, it's not just that we can have a conversation, but I need to get rid of you. Like, it's not just I disagree with you, where I can deal with your narrative and give you a particular point of view. It's you just need to disappear. And that's, it's freaky, especially on social media, where they could actually do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like Stalin just scrubbing out Trotsky or something. I mean, it seems like that's what they're basically doing in an electronic capacity.
And they're doing that, and that, with so many people relying on their phone. Tom, the other element on this, which I think actually discredits the whole thing, are those that are capitalizing on this fight for freedom. Do you think that diminishes the work they're doing? A lot of people on this list, and we know, make a lot of money just by saying certain things, and they throw these firebombs out there, and they get lots of clicks, and they get lots of dollars that go in their bank account because of what they said. Do they actually believe it?
I think a lot of them don't on there that are making a list. And I think it's a valid point. I remember back growing up in the 80s and 90s, you'd see these religious evangelists on there that made it into a business and moved away from what the Word of God actually is. And they turned it into a for-profit organization. So some people on the list are doing that. Not all of them. There are quite a few people on there that are on there doing it for the right reasons. That's why I said it's a pretty solid list. There's no list that's ever going to be made in a million years. It's a perfect list. It's just like both of us like Star Trek, and both of us would agree that Discovery was completely destroyed it, because who cares about pronouns? Because like some of them are unisex on there from, and that was back in the 60s.
Yeah, so, I mean, exactly. Yeah.
But that started back then, and here we are 50 years later, and look where we've gotten to. And Lionel, that's my comment, is that so often we put the focus on, like I said, the pronouns in that area. We don't praise the ones that are continuing to push for it, so therefore they don't even bother to put their necks on the lines. Do you think that we should be doing a better job?
Oh, of course. You know, you mentioned Star Trek. And by the way, gentlemen, thank you for not saying Star Trek. Nothing drives me crazier than that. But I love the movie Being There with Chauncey Gardner and Peter Sellers. And I want to do, if I ran, let's say, YouTube, I would take somebody who was certifiably insane. I mean, absolutely ambulatory schizophrenic, just out of their mind. And I would create a platform, and I would give them immediately 15 million views. And immediately, within 24 hours, this is going to be the sage. This is going to be the prophet. People are going to be saying, you know what? He's right. Why? Because of numerical validation. You know how many followers he has? You know how many likes he has? Because we're now, it's really, it's kind of like a weird meritocracy. It has to do with numbers. And all of the people that have been mentioned on this freedom fighter list have one thing in common. Their numbers, not their worth, not their, not the genius of their ideas, but the fact of their popularity. It's that number. It's that likes. How many times do you ever watch anything and the first thing they tell you is, please like this, please follow me, please like, I haven't even heard what you said yet. Please like this. It's like going into a restaurant, they ask you to tip. They asked me and my dry cleaners to tip them. I said, for what? To bring my stuff. So what happens is, these freedom fighters, we live in this world of this artificial sense of worth determined by numbers. And we will sit there and say, this guy's crazy. He's got 10 million views. Oh, okay. Let me reconsider that. That's where we are. That's the genius of this. We're not even listening to what they say. How about somebody who really makes a great point but has 4 viewers?
Yeah.
Or and sits in her bedroom with a messy room, who says brilliant things. Nobody cares about her because she's not worthy of it. Give her 10 million views, 10 million subs, and now we're talking. This is insanity. What type of merit is that? That's for a different issue, of course.
Well, and that's the merit right now that scares me about it. And this is, I'll give you the last word on this, because that's what's becoming. Credibility is, like Lionel pointed out, is happening in the numbers. It's becoming sort of a horse trade. Yeah. The bigger the numbers means the more important you are, the more truth that you're speaking. That's not true. Where does this go from here, though?
And by the way, it convinces the person with those numbers.
Right.
It can be the most ridiculous things in the world. And it's like, well, I have 10 million views, so I'm phenomenal.
Incredible. I'm incredible.
I'm fantastic. Yeah. That's the way it works, right? I mean, that's how it works in YouTube. I would imagine that's how it works with TV on some level. Where does it go is an interesting question. I mean, the reality is it does seem to be this fight or this kind of push and pull between the mechanisms of, let's say, like a social media or an internet that allows this kind of expression versus this pullback or this clawback of that capability of being able to get that expression. I don't know where that ends. I mean, the rub is you could have a situation where the censorship gets more overt, or you could have a situation where people just of that nature?
On that side of it.
Yeah, so it's unclear.
It's unclear. Well, Jamal, Lionel, Tom Norton, thank you so much for joining me. Also, thank you for not saying, beam me up, Scotty, when you started to talk about Star Trek. I sort of have PTSD and breakout from my childhood, from what they used to call me. So I thank all three of you for joining me and having the freedom to discuss. So, yes, Lionel. Oh, see, there you go. I'm right back at you guys. Thank you. You know, sadly, a list which identifies specific individuals who are publicly fighting not only should be considered an honor, but should also be considered a warning, as these individuals are guaranteed to be targets, if they are not already, by those who wish to seize power and control. Now, the old adage goes, not all heroes wear capes, and while I think it is good things to have those individuals in the public eye actively known for pushing back against tyranny, there are so many, as our panel pointed out, behind the scenes who are fighting, but they're doing so through the choices they are making. While it's hard to gauge those individuals are, it is their existence which is going to be the most effective in securing the future. It is this group of teachers, doctors, small business owners, and their like who are going to save the world from ultimate control by the elite, or at the very least, radically slow the process. I'm Scott Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thank you for watching.